Blast off. Oh, come on, Scott. You know, Scott, let it out. Blast off. You know you want to. No? Scott?
Sorry? Yeah.
You disappeared already? Oh, my God. This is not boding well.
No, I'm here.
Okay, well, good. I just said you should let it all out and just yell, blast off, but you didn't do it. You chickened out.
I was too busy hearing the British lady telling me my show was about to go live.
I know, and it got you all excited, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Scott, you've made the big time now. That's all I can say, and I know it's all down here from now. But, you know, we do what we can, and I'm sure that somehow you'll come out on top if you really keep applying yourself.
Yep.
So are you in Los Angeles now? Is that where you live?
No, I actually I live in San Diego. I lived in L.A. for a lot of years, and it's a little too crowded there for my liking, and I threw in the towel a few years ago, and I moved down to San Diego.
Now, you were born actually in Carmel, weren't you? Were you born at a community hospital, I bet?
Yep. Chomp.
I knew it.
Chomp Hospital in Monterey.
I know that place right off of 68. I know it well. I had knee surgery there. I've been there many times. It's changed quite a bit, though, since I'm sure you were born, certainly since I was even, you know, there. I went last summer to unfortunately visit somebody that was in the hospital, and I saw big changes there. But it's pretty in a pretty neat-looking place. How long did you actually live in Carmel? Did you move away really young? Because I read that you lived in Hawaii.
I moved away young, but I spent, a good share of my youth going kind of back and forth between my mom and dad. So my mom lives in Hawaii, and when I, pissed my mom off, I'd come live with my dad for a little bit and vice versa.
That's kind of the best of both worlds. So really, I mean, you know. So you were definitely played one against the other, so you had two places to go. That's kind of smart, actually.
Yeah, two pretty nice places. Tough life growing up in Hawaii and in Carmel, California.
I know. Would you live in Hawaii now if your career would allow you? Did you really like living in Hawaii, or where would you live if there was no problems with work or anything? If you could live anywhere and have all things be equal, where would you choose? Because you've traveled already all over the world.
Yeah, I love San Diego. I would say maybe later in life I'd like to live maybe in Hawaii, but I like having a place out there and having a pulse on what's going on over here, but kind of still being away from. I'm only an hour and a half away from Los Angeles, so I can get in there and do some business and then get back to, living right by the beach and living a more relaxing life.
See, now I find San Diego a little too busy for me. Of course, L.A., I mean, is worse, but I love Monterey Bay because, you have some traffic, but it's nothing like – I just kind of am a central to Northern California girl. Would you never want to live in that area? How do you feel about Northern?
No, I love Monterey. I love it. I think it's for a young person. I'm in my mid 20s. I'd say it's a little too slow for me right now, but I love it. It's absolutely gorgeous, and there's something about Northern California that'll always be in my blood. I'll always really relate to, and I think I'll always be back there. And maybe someday I will live there. It's not today.
Well, speaking as somebody who's somewhere between yours and your father's age, probably closer to your father, I don't know.
Pretty big gap.
Pretty wide range, because he was like 55 or 56 when you were born, wasn't he? He was up there. But I used to live in Santa Cruz, And I've spent summers in Pebble Beach, and Pebble Beach is beautiful, but oh man, even for me, it's way slow. It's just, oh man, there's nothing to do. It's, you know, like Carmel pulls up the sidewalks at 7 o'clock, and it's just not a lot going on there.
No, there's not.
I actually like Santa Cruz a lot better. Santa Cruz is a younger vibe. I think there's a lot, and there's a lot of crazy people up there. I like crazy people.
Well, so there's no shortage of them up there.
No, there isn't. There isn't. But that keeps life interesting, doesn't it? Now, you actually made a movie called, it was originally called Carmel by the Sea, and then Carmel, and a couple years ago, and I know Lauren Bacall was in it, and Hayden Panettiere, and what's his name? Alfred Molina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So whatever happened with that, I was so looking forward to it. Do you know anything about that being ever going to be released, or even on DVD or something?
You know, I'm sure that it will be. I saw the movie a few months ago. At a premiere they did, or a screening they did in Los Angeles, and it turned out pretty good. I was pretty impressed. I thought it kind of went through some litigation. There was a lawsuit involved, and you know, I don't really follow these things. I kind of just go and do my job as an actor and you know, let the rest kind of figure itself out. But it turned out pretty good, and I hope it comes out, because it's a good little movie. And you know, if it does, then it does.
Well, you know, any movie that's shot in Carmel is a good little movie to me. In fact, I've had it. It's been my tradition every summer when I go back over to, whether I'm in Pebble Beach or I'm up in the Santa Cruz area, I always have to take my DVD of Play Misty for me. And which is one of my all-time favorite films, Play Misty for Me, because God, besides your dad, who, God, that was a great role with Jessica Walter, who was just insane in that movie, but all the wonderful shots of Carmel and Monterey and the sardine factory still there, just like it was. I mean, it's sort of neat.
Yeah, it is.
That's the one thing about living in a small area like that. Things don't ever change all that much.
Yeah, you know, the Monterey has been, I feel like the Central Coast up there has been really good about kind of preserving things, which is nice. It's a change to places like Southern California, where everything's in constant flux. You know, there's a lot of things that are regulations that are put into place that, you know, don't allow certain changes to happen overnight, so it keeps things kind of preserved up there.
Well, and it, you know, the one of the things you were mentioning, that there were some legal problems with the movie, I was imagining right away that it had to do with Carmel, because Carmel, they have really strict regulations. I know that. I know from people that have, you know, tried to do something simple like replace a window in their house, or there's a lot of really stiff regulations there. I know when your father became mayor of Carmel, he abolished one of the laws that was in effect forever and ever, that you couldn't eat an ice cream cone on the sidewalks of Carmel.
Yeah, that's pretty
that
silly
was a law.
Law.
I mean, that was a silly, that was a law, and your dad, Clint, wiped it out. God bless you, Clint, because there were a lot of people breaking the law before then. You know, it's a silly, silly regular. But a lot of them are really good, too, because, you know, when you have a beautiful place like that, you do want to preserve it, and you have to be very careful in order to do that. So you actually grew up in Hawaii, and so you're really into surfing, I'm sure, big surfer.
Yeah. Yeah, grew up surfing.
And, now you can do a lot of that where you are, so that's not a problem. But how did you fall into acting? What did you, was that something you wanted to do early on, or?
You know, in high school, I I did theater, and you know, I was always doing stuff. I was always either making short movies, in videography classes, putting short movies together with friends. You know, I was always into entertaining and you know, giving people a story, that whether it's a funny story, you know, and making funny movies as a kid that make people laugh. And you know, so I pursued it, you know, out of high school and into college and through college, and just, you know, went after it.
And I also read that you had in common I know your father loves jazz, and he's quite an accomplished piano player. And didn't he, I think he composed for Bridges of Madison County, he composed Love Theme or something for that. And you actually studied saxophone, which I love saxophone. Do you still play that at all?
Yeah. Yeah, I play. I'm by no means as talented as my father when it comes to writing music, but I play the saxophone.
We call it the saxophone because it is probably the sexiest instrument around. So that was a good choice, Scott. That's a real, real girl getter. It's always better to play the saxophone than like the tuba or something. That was a good choice. Clarinet.
Yeah.
You know, just the saxophone. Saxophone. It's good stuff all the way around. How did you happen to travel so much? Because I read that you have actually been Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Indonesia, Iceland, Europe, South Africa, Australia. My God, how'd you travel so much?
Well, you know, besides acting, which has taken me over the last so many years, it's taken me to, you know, places that I would have never been all over the world. I'm an avid surfer, like you said, and a lot of my trips and a lot of the reasons for going, the places that I've gone, is to chase a surf and to go, you know, go to these, you know, great places and get a surf there when you go on vacation. And so I'm a pretty avid traveler, and I've been just about to every continent, and you know, to very, very many countries, and it's just something that I think I'll always do. I think I'll always end up going places that have a coastline and that have potential for really good surf.
Okay, so tell me, of all the places you've been, what's your top three surf spots?
Top three. Indonesia, Australia.
Australia.
And, we have, you know, it's a toss-up maybe. Third place would go to Mexico or Costa Rica.
Now we have one of the gals in the chat room is in the chat room. She's in Australia. She lives in Australia, and she wants to know where in Oz you surfed.
Well, I actually packed up and moved to Australia for about 6 months, maybe 3 to 5 years ago. I kind of just, you know, had enough of LA, so I put my stuff in storage, bought a one-way ticket out there. Bought a car when I got there, and I lived on the Gold Coast for a few months, and I surfed all over the Gold Coast, from Coolangatta and Snapper, and you know, everywhere on the Gold Coast. And then I went down to Sydney and lived in Sydney for another few months and surfed the northern beaches up there, and just I surfed everywhere.
Wow. Yeah, you really, well, how nice that you could just pick up and say, oh, I think I'll go live in Australia for a while. That's a pretty tough life you have there, Scott. So obviously, and I have to ask this for all the girls who want to know whether you have a girlfriend or not. It seems that with a guy that moves around as much as you do, is that a yes?
It's tough to have a girlfriend.
Yeah, well, hey, Scott, FYI, you need to stay in one spot for a while.
Yeah.
It's really tough. Yeah, very tough to have a girlfriend if you're moving around like a rolling stone all the time. But you're young, so this is the time to do it. I mean, I'm all with you. I would do that too. And you were in South Africa for Invictus, the movie, right?
I was.
Yes, exactly. How many of your father's movies have you been in?
Three or four.
Plagues
I
of
know.
Our Fathers, was that the first? Plagues of Our Fathers, was that the first?
I believe that was one of the first movies of his I was in, yes.
And then Invictus and Gran Torino. I think, yeah. And, of course, you have now a new movie that you're shooting right now. You must be on a break or something. You're shooting, and I hate to even say it because I'm so scared of this kind of movie, Scott. I have to be honest. I'm a total wuss. Now, my daughter loves it. She's seen every one of these, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and as if it isn't bad enough, now it's 3D. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, you know, I never did a horror movie, and, you got to do one, I guess. You got to do one, and I'm doing an American kind of cult classic one, and actually they've, John Lusinop, the director, wrote the screenplay with someone else, and they put together actually a really good story. You know, I read the script, and it's not the typical movies we see, you know, the typical scary movies you see now. They're kind of set up this really interesting story, and they're kind of going back to the drawing board and redoing it and setting up kind of a cool story behind it.
And you're playing the deputy that takes the chainsaw guy on head on, right?
Yeah, I take the chainsaw guy head on.
That doesn't sound very pretty. Chainsaw head on. Ooh, yeah, that could be pretty. But I read somewhere that it's slated to be possibly a trilogy. So
yeah, they've set it up. That's kind of the way they've set it up in the script. They've set it up to have this rivalry between two families and kind of be an interesting story more than just a guts and, you know, gore movie.
Blood and, yeah, chainsaws roaring.
It's a lot more about the story than it is about the
gore. Well, that's kind of, that's good. And obviously that bodes well for you coming back. That's going to be a trilogy and, you know. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to, it's going to be one of those things like, what do you call it? What is this? Some window just popped up. It's going to be one of those things like, what was that one? Friday the 13th. I remember the first one I saw. Was Friday the 13th the one at the lake? Yeah, that was one where the hand comes out of the lake. You think that the guy is dead, but he, you know, there's always a twisted ending. You think finally the bad guy is gone. And then there's some little thing at the end, like you see his point of vision and you hear this kind of breathing or something. And you know, oh, God, he's still around. Oh, no. Oh, I like that. But you know, certain movies scared me. One movie that scared me a lot was the first Halloween. Oh, that hockey mask. Oh, my God. Michael Myers. That scared me. Pet Sematary scared the hell out of me. Oh, because I thought that was so creepy. But I have to be honest and tell you, I've never seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I might have to now, though, because I definitely want to see you in it. May have to start out with something else. Hopefully Carmel will come out before that. So obviously you're filming that in Texas, I would assume.
Yes. And actually, on the border of Texas and Louisiana, in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Yeah. So that's there's a lot of good moody weather and scenery and stuff down there. We had a question earlier from the chat room. Do you play tenor or alto sax?
I play alto.
Oh, good. That's so much better than tenor. I don't like tenor either. And let's see what else. Somebody said you're a good match. Oh, actually, they'd be a really hot couple. Let's do some matchmaking. Jacqueline McGinnis. She's an actress from Canada, and she is a regular on the Bold and the Beautiful daytime drama. But she just finished, oh, God, what's the name of it? Sammy in the chat room, help me. What was it? Final Destination 5. And that's coming out the day before my birthday, August 12th. It's coming out, and she's in Final Destination 5. And I think she's just the right age for you. See, we're trying to fix you up. The reason that somebody brought her up and said that you would be, she'd be such a great match for you is because she loves surfing and she loves horror movies. That's funny.
Oh, wow.
And she's hot, too. She's a really good-looking girl. Just saying, you know, you might want to look her up. Jacqueline McGinnis Wood. She's cute. Okay, final day. Thank you. I remembered it. Do you feel there's a predisposition in people, the general public thinking that, oh, you know, there must be total nepotism? Do you feel like you have to prove yourself even more, being the son of Clint Eastwood?
I'd say it's a two-sided coin. I'd say, yeah, obviously there's always going to be people who go out and you know, say things and believe a certain way. But, you know, you just work hard and you do what you can, and you try to be the best at your craft and do what you can. And, you know, at the end of the day, you got to let all the other bullshit go. I mean, I don't really even pay attention to it. I just do my job and show up. And I always tell people, you know, I may never be the best actor in Hollywood, but I'll be the hardest working one. I'll be the one that shows up on time and works hard and doesn't complain and does my job.
Well, you know, that goes a really long way, too. That's really important. I mean, you're not somebody who wants to rest on any laurels. You want to actually earn your way, and you're, you know, like, okay, I'm going to do it and let the chips fall. And I really like that attitude. That's really good. It's my feeling that probably children of famous celebrities have to work all the harder to get respect. I just feel that there's a lot of preconceived notions that, oh, they're handed this. But on the other hand, I don't see your father, and I don't know him, but I don't see him as being someone that would just hand you things on a silver platter. Am I right?
Yeah, you hit the head on the nail. You know, my dad made me audition for anything that I've ever gotten, and I've auditioned for many of his movies that I haven't been in. And it goes the same in Hollywood. Nobody hands out anything. Everybody thinks, oh, you got handed out. But you know, the fact is that you got to be the one to go audition and go, you know, do a good job in the audition room. No one can save you. Once you're in the audition room, it doesn't matter whose father or whose, you know, whose sibling or who you are. You better be good, or you better bring it, or you're not gonna go anywhere.
And it is such a competitive, I mean, horribly competitive arena. And so, you know, I think you really earn your chops when you get in. And, you know, to say that you may not be the best actor ever, you know, I think that's just a matter of determination. If you want to be, I'm sure you will be. I'm sure, you know, I see, well, let's face it now. When your dad was Rowdy Yates, you know, he probably wasn't at the top of his game. Back in the Rawhide days, you know, he was a young guy. But, you know, as he's gotten older and as he's acted more, he's gotten better and better. And, you know, that happens with anyone who is really applies themselves to whatever they do. I think that you're going to do just fine. What else would you do if you had to choose a different career besides acting? Say if for some reason, you know, you woke up one day and it's like, you know what, I don't even really want to be an actor. What else would you be interested in doing?
I've always wanted to be a firefighter. And
really?
Did a lot of volunteer work and always wanted to be a firefighter. And, you know, getting out of high school, I was kind of conflicted. I wanted to go to the Navy. I wanted to be a Navy SEAL at one time.
Wow.
I don't know, probably five, I would say firefighter.
That,
Right now,
you know, boy, that's really commendable. I mean, you know, it's funny, and it's funny because, well, it's not funny at all, but my daughter was supposed to meet me for lunch today, and I got this text message from her, you know, 5 minutes after she sent me an email and said, yeah, I'll be there. I got a text. Well, she called me, and she said, did you get my text? I said, no, what? She says, I can't meet you. She said, our garage is on fire. And I said, what? She and her husband bought this old English, big English Tudor home in one of the historic districts here. And one of the neighbors called the fire department because their garage was on fire. And they've just, you know, enlarged their garage, and they built this big loft for all their storage and a workshop for her husband and, you know, electric gate and everything. So she was, she calls me later and she says, oh my God, I have so much respect for the firefighters. I cannot even tell you what a good job they did. She said they actually took the pins out to remove the gate from one side so they wouldn't have to break it because it was a very expensive electronic gate. And she said they took these special tarps and covered up all the storage area so it wouldn't get wet. I mean, can you believe it? That's just, but I guess there was a fire in the dumpster in the alleyway behind the house and caught their garage on fire and just, you know, took down the back wall. But I think firefighters are just amazing. That is a really, really good and really commendable job. A very dangerous one too. So, that's an amazing choice that you would even think of that.
Well, you know, I'm just a guy who, you know, I'm not like a normal actor guy. I'm a pretty active guy and I like change and, I like helping people, and so.
Yeah, well, you certainly help.
Maybe in 10 years I'll be a firefighter.
Oh, you know what? I just have a real feeling, Scott. You're not going to go from acting to being a firefighter. I don't see that happening somehow. And now somebody wanted to know, why did you change your name to Eastwood from your? I guess you had your mother's name Reeves. Why did you go to eat? But just, was it because of your dad, or what was the reason for that?
Well, you know, people have asked me this for the last couple of years, and I always tell them the same thing, you know. It's my dad's last name. He wanted me to have his last name, and you know, I wanted to earn it by myself for a few years see if I can make it in the acting business and chase it, and I was working. I was consistently working as an actor, and so, you know, decided to change it over to Eastwood and go by.
Well, you know what? I think that's wonderful. I think that is wonderful that you actually wanted to, you know, work for a few years and then take his name. And I think that it's a very respectful thing to do. It is his name, and he is your father. And there is no way in hell there could ever be any denial of that. Not that there ever was, because you look exactly like him. I mean, you really do. Of all of his children, don't you have like six brothers and sisters? I think he has seven, right? As far as I remember, seven in the family. Kids.
That number sounds pretty right to me. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, but of all of them, I think you look the most like him. Really, I think you really do look a lot like him. Are you about the same height? Are you as tall as he is? Because he was, I remember, I don't know if he's shrunken at all, but he was like 6'3", I think.
I'm about 6'1", 6'2".
Oh, yeah, but you're probably still growing. We have a caller who has a question for you. Hello, 949.
Yes,
hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Marie at Live and Line. Hi,
oh,
how are
hi,
you?
Hi, Marie. Where are you calling from, Marie?
Actually, I'm calling from San Juan Capistrano.
Okay, say hi to Scott.
I will. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you
how
doing?
Are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I have a question, a couple things. One is, as far as any aspirations to do anything besides drama? Do you have, and I know you talked about firefighting, which I thought was great, but do you think about doing any other sort of maybe like comedy and or theatrical aspirations?
Well, when you say theatrical, what do you mean?
Well,
mean
theater, like yeah,
stage.
Exactly. Stage.
You know, I take life and kind of, I'd say five year gaps, and you know, every 5 years, I usually reassess. Oh, what do I want to do? What do I want to see myself in 5 years? I haven't really thought about theater,
okay.
Just because I enjoy the medium for film so much more.
Okay.
But you know, not to say that you know, in 10 years from now, I might be like, hey, I want to do some theater. I want to check that out.
Right. Absolutely. So that's great. And you're young. And my next question is, do you have a favorite film of your dad's that you've seen kind of repeatedly that you like and that's kind of in the forefront in your mind, that's kind of the it movie for you?
I'd have to say it, Unforgiven, probably.
Ah, good. Very
that
good.
That was a great, great movie.
Yes,
I thought
was.
That was a great movie. I love that. For me, it would be really hard to pick, but that's in the top three for sure, Unforgiven. Oh, man, that was a good movie. Wonderful movie.
Now, Olivia, you probably know better than I actually like the movie, I think it was Absolute Power. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Laura
Linney
was in that.
Melora Hardin.
Laura Linney.
Laura Linney, thank you. Okay, I love that movie. What a great movie. Your dad was wonderful in it. But just a good movie, too.
Oh, good. I mean,
yes,
I don't want to swear here, but he's Clint Effin' Eastwood, for God's sake.
Absolutely. I love it.
You know what? I just watched him this morning in The Beguiled. God, I loved that movie. Did you ever see that one, Scott? Did you ever see that Beguiled? You probably did, didn't you?
I've seen it.
God, that women. They cut his leg off. Oh God, it was horrible during the Civil War. But oh God, a good movie. That was a good movie. It pops up. I'll tell you what movies I can never resist are any of the Dirty Harry movies. Those were mine. I love the Dirty Harry. I have permanently on my DVR. I have the one that was in Santa Cruz begins with an S. Oh, I just lost my train of thought.
That was a Sandra Locke movie, right?
Sandra Locke. The carousel. She restored the carousel animals.
Yes.
What?
I have to think about it. I can't remember it either.
Was it Tightrope or no?
No.
No, it wasn't. Oh God, Scott, you're supposed to know, for crying out loud.
Well, I'm so excited, Scott, to see some great films from you. And I truly think, I mean, obviously, I read the bio that Olivia had on her Facebook page, but you're just an inspiration. It's great to see such a young guy trying to do good things. And obviously, you're going to make something of yourself, absolutely, in your own right. And I'm proud of hearing that. It's great. Very, very good. So good luck with everything. Thank you, Olivia. This is a wonderful interview.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm glad you're here.
It was nice talking to you.
Okay. Take care. Okay. Bye.
VR is getting filled up. And I just looked at it a couple days ago because I thought, well, maybe it'll come on again, but I don't want to take it. I liked it because, of course, it was in Santa Cruz and the boardwalk and all of these, you know, local scenes and everything were in there. Also, The Lost Boys, also, which I loved, was in Santa Cruz. So I always like the movies that are filmed around the old neck of the woods in California. It's always fun to see those. Oh, it really is. So what's you're working on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D right now, and then what's next for you?
I've got a few things in the pipeline. Nothing that you know, scheduled for like a start date yet, but there are some things that are being put together. A couple movies that are being put together that kind of surround me as one of the main characters, and a couple movies that I've signed on to play certain characters in, and, you know, we're just, you know, taking one movie at a time.
Do you have any interest in directing or anything like that at some point? It seems like actors always eventually want to be directors. Do you see that down the road somewhere?
Oh, you know, a lot of actors want to be directors because, you know, they work and they get sick and tired of somebody else telling them what to do, and they see it one way. So then they go, you know, hey, I'm gonna do this one myself. But down the road, I think I still want to. I really want to, you know, master the craft of acting and have a career in acting before I even think about directing.
Well, and that's as it should be. I mean, I think that's one thing. You don't want to get too many irons in the fire when you're, you know, you want to perfect, you know, one aspect. You want to perfect your craft before you go into another area, and that's something that's really, I think, a wise thing to do. Okay, just before you go, I want to just ask you if you will indulge me, and I'm just going to throw a couple of things at you. They're either ors, and what I want you to do is just pick one, and that's
okay.
All. It's just simple. There's no right
sure.
or wrong. It just kind of gives people a little insight into you. Okay. Okay, how about white meat or dark meat?
White.
Friday the 13th or April Fool's Day?
April Fool's Day.
Smart and plain or dumb and sexy?
Dumb and sexy.
Oh, shame on you. I just knew that was God. Okay, we will not hold that against you. Okay. Late you're a young guy. Late night, early morning.
Both. I'm a surfer.
Yeah.
So I get up early and surf, and I like to go out sometimes at night. Not every night, but
so you're not much of a sleeper. Do you require more sleep than you get all the time? Are you always in a state of perennial tired?
No, I shoot from the shotgun for sure. I can just get up and go for a couple hours and make it work.
And I read somewhere that you're an Aries, right?
I think so. You probably know better than I am. I don't really follow the astronomy.
What's your birthday? When's your birthday?
March 21st. But someone told me that.
So
I'm
you're on the cusp. Yeah, you're on the cusp. Well, because I was going to say fire signs usually have a lot of energy. A large noisy party or home with someone, one other on a Saturday night. So would you rather be home with your significant
home.
Other than a Saturday?
Home.
You don't like large noisy parties?
And somewhere in between, I probably would fall into.
Okay, malt liquor. Okay, malt liquor or single malt scotch?
Well, you mean malt liquor?
Yeah, malt liquor. Malt liquor is like a beer drink.
Okay, so beer or a single malt scotch? It has to be single malt?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, scotch. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, good. I like a Scotch man. I like my Scotch, too. East Coast, West Coast. I think I know maybe that one.
Yeah, I think you can answer that one.
Yeah. Okay. Breakfast or dinner?
Breakfast.
Do you like big breakfast eggs and all that stuff? What do you usually have for breakfast?
Pretty healthy. I like eggs, but I like... There's acai bowls, really good fresh ones, and, you know, protein and eggs and,
acai
like, maybe steel cut oatmeal. And
acai
bowls. You never had those
Brazilian
berry bowls?
Well, I know, but what you're just saying you like the berries?
Well, I mean, it's a berry blend that they
right.
Take the berries
okay.
from, you know, Brazil, and then they blend it together, and they put this bowl together with granola and fresh fruit on top and coconut shavings and yada yada.
Oh, yeah, sounds not okay. Action movie or sci-fi?
Action.
A poodle of any size or a pit bull?
A pit bull, for sure.
Oh, see, you think poodles are sissy, don't you? Tell me the truth. You think sissy?
I like dogs. I have a dog, but I wouldn't own a poodle.
What kind of dog do you have?
I got a lab mix. He's a mutt.
Ah. Sam, I like that name. Okay, quick to judge or never budge?
Or never budge. Quick to judge, probably.
Okay. My worst fault is?
My worst fault is? Selective listening.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. And it's good to recognize that early on so you can work on it. Okay, my best quality is?
Honest.
Okay, I am most proud of?
My mom.
Oh. Great. Does she still live in Hawaii?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good. Do you get to see her very often?
Yeah, I see her all the time.
Oh, that's really good. I avoid arrogance by?
Being humble.
Well, that's true. You got to be humble. Okay. What would people be? What are you doing over there? Are you shoveling snow? Are you shoveling snow?
No. I actually just got off a bartending shift. I bartend part time.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm sorry.
I was just counting money.
It's kind of hard to count money and do an interview, so you have to start over again all the time, or what?
I'm pretty good at multitasking.
I hope so. You don't want to get fired.
I'm not bartending right now, but
you don't want to have the money counted wrong. If you count it as more than it was, you're going to think you dipped into the till. You know what I'm saying? Just be careful. What would people be surprised to know about you? People who don't know you would be surprised to know.
Surprised to know about me. I don't care much about nice things or money. You know, that stuff is trivial to me completely. I don't care at all about it.
So you're not impressed at all with status or money, and that's very endearing.
Not even a little bit.
Going to have so many women after you, and the right kind, because the women who are after a guy just because of his name or money won't be after you because you're too genuine, and that's real commendable. I think that's really commendable, and a good reason to be out of Hollywood, by the way. Everything's pretty.
That's why I live in San Diego.
Good for you. Yeah, I cannot stand plastic people. I can't stand people that, you know, put on airs. And, you know, with me, it's always what you see is what you get. Take it or leave it. You know, that's just, and I get that from you, too, and I think that's really great. Do you have a good relationship with your brothers and sisters? Are you all pretty tight?
Yeah, we're all close.
That's real good. That's good to hear, because now when you were growing up with your mom and dividing time back and forth and everything, you know, it's hard to keep a good relationship with all different members of a divided family. But I have heard regarding your father that he's a great father and that he really takes great care of his kids. And I can tell just by talking to you that that's very true. You certainly have your values in place, and that's very good to hear. I mean, I'm very impressed, I have to tell you. When do you expect this picture will be finished?
It will be done August 26th, August 27th.
Okay, and then it's probably, oh, I bet you it's going to be released around Halloween. That sounds like, isn't that like a Halloween kind of movie they try and release around then? Would it be finished by then, you think? Or?
Well, Halloween for next year, not this year.
Yeah, because it takes a long time once the movie's shot. It's not going to be out within a couple months. Do you have, and I think that I already know the answer, do you have Facebook, a Twitter, any of that? I bet you don't, do you?
Nope. Nope, and not it's just not my thing. Not into it.
Gosh, I just like you more and more, Scott. You are such a neat guy. You are really together, and that I just so admire that, especially your age and, you know, coming from where you've come from. I think that you're just a really great guy, and I'm very, very impressed, I have to say. But we can always keep up with you by just checking. You know, anybody can go to IMDb and look up his name and see what movies he's doing, and then we'll just watch for them. But I know the next movie that's going to be released, as far as we know, is going to be Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. God help me. I couldn't take it in. I could take it on the flat screen. Don't even give me the 3D with the blood spattering on my face. I don't think I could take it. It's not for me, but I will see it for you. I remember when this is terrible, Kung Lee on the show, and he made the movie Pandora, and he was telling me, oh, we go see it, and he was texting me during the movie, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm getting scared, Kung. I'm only doing this for you. And he's texting me, thank you. Let me know what you think about it, because, oh, my God. I'm a wuss, but I will see it for you, and I predict really, really good things for you. You've got a great attitude and a good ethic and work ethic and very grounded, so I'm sure that you're going to be doing really well, Scott. I so appreciate your taking time to be on the show. I'd love you to come back sometime. Would you come back after your movie comes out and chat with us some more?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, I'd really like that. Okay, do me a favor before you go. Just make a little clip for me, and all I want you to do is just say who you are and anything you want to say about the time you spent with Olivia Wilder, me. And make sure it's Wilder, because that hussy, Olivia Wilde, stole my name and is trying to take it. She's a little more popular than I am, but I am the Wilder, so it all evens out. Okay, so anything you want to say?
I'm Scott Eastwood, and I had a great time talking to you, Olivia, and hope to come back soon.
Thank you, Scott. Well, you take care and be careful surfing. Have you ever, I want to ask you just off the cuff, have you ever had any close encounters with sharks?
I've seen sharks in the water, but I wouldn't call them a close encounter.
And they've never scared the hell out of you that you thought, oh, maybe the surfing isn't all it's cracked up to be?
No. I mean, I don't really live life in fear like that. I figure you got a better chance probably getting hit by lightning than getting eaten by a shark. But I don't know. Maybe
what
I'm
a cool guy. What a cool dude you are. I mean, really, you are. You're just like, you are the cool dude. And by the way, thank you, Marie. It was Sudden Impact. How could I forget that? Sudden Impact. I love that damn movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the Dirty Harrys.
Yeah, I love the Dirty Harrys, and of course Santa Cruz. And the neat thing about that, there's this chase scene in on Pacific Avenue, which is downtown Santa Cruz, and it was before the big earthquake in '89, and so many of those buildings aren't there anymore. So I just love to see it because I see, you know, what it used to look like, and it's kind of nostalgic. It's neat, but. Anyhow, well, thanks again, Scott. Take care and come back soon, okay? And best of luck with your movies, all of them.
Thank you so much, Olivia.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody, that was Scott Eastwood. He reminds me a lot of his dad. His dad is very soft-spoken, seems almost shy, but he's just, they're very enigmatic people, and I think he takes a lot after him. That's another thing, you know, Clint has never been anybody but who he is, and I think he's just a cool dude, like I said, and I think that he's going to be doing just fine with or without his last name. So that's the show. I didn't want to keep him any longer. You know, he's a young guy, just got finished working, and I sensed him being a little tiny bit uncomfortable, but not too badly. But I hope you enjoyed it. I did. I will be back Sunday, the 31st, and I will have with my Art of Living show, and I will have very well-known chef. He was the runner-up on Top Chef Masters, and his name is Rick Moonen. Chef Rick Moonen will be on. Also, our wine curmudgeon, Jeff Siegel, and food and wine writer, author, and restaurant critic, Todd Kleiman, will be on Sunday as well. And then Tuesday, I have one more show, and I'm going to be gone for a while. So Tuesday, I have Kenny Santucci from Road Rules Challenge on MTV. And that's going to be Tuesday at 7, and then you're going to be free of me for a while because I'm not going to be on for a couple of weeks. So Sunday and Tuesday, and then that will be it. I will be a week from Saturday driving out to California, Carmel, Monterey area, Pebble Beach, and I'm going to be there for 5 or 6 weeks. And the first week I'm there, I'm not doing any shows. I need a break. Haven't taken any vacation in 4 years from doing shows. And Jack will back me up on that, Jack, here in the chat room. Have I ever taken a whole week off without doing one interview? I don't think so. I don't think I have. I think I've always had at least one show every week. But I'm going to actually take a little bit of time off. I think Jack's gone. He's not even there. Nobody's there. Chat room is still... I'm going to leave. Talking to myself. Nobody's even there anymore. Okay, you guys. Thank you so much for calling in, Marie. It was really great. It was a great call, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm surprised there weren't more callers and more questions, but okay. So, like I said, I will be here Sunday. I'll be here Tuesday, and then I will be gone for probably 10 days. Okay. So good night, everybody. I'm going to play my song. I played this yesterday, my Wednesday show. We won't be actually back for the Wednesday show, which was a lot of fun yesterday with Lizette Brody. I won't be back with the Wednesday show till September. And I just happen to like this song, so I'm going to play it. So good night, everybody. I will see you on Sunday. Thanks for coming.
I'll be alone each and every night. While you're away, don't forget to write.
Bye-bye.